Wow, this is impressive. Western Manor, here we are, just on the outskirts of Oxford. So Matt, remind me why we're here?
So we're here, we've kind of got a group of senior technologists from enterprise organisations and partners here to spend 2 days at Western Manor to kind of flex out what cloud might mean.
Over the next couple of days, there's going to be a lot of talk in depth about the cloud, where it's going, what the issues are. But before we actually grab some of the speakers and get them to talk about their topics of interest, the first question I have to ask Hussein is, what is the cloud?
The cloud is everything that isn't on-premise and hosted in your data centre. The cloud is potentially a lucrative waste of time that's on a scale of Web 2.0 and all those other things, but we'll stick with it anyway.
Right, the cloud means to me, as a services company CTO, that means to be able to develop scalable, large-scale projects.
The cloud is the fastest road to agility for my organisation.
So I think the cloud is an opportunity to focus on business process and to create agility in organisations and reduce the effort and energy expended on looking at just pure technology.
I'm interested in the cloud because I'm interested in providing ubiquitous services. I'm interested in being able to provision those services very quickly, on demand. I'm also interested in tearing them down, but it has to be at the right price.
Cloud, to me, is a fluffy object in the sky.
So one of the biggest issues for the data centre industry at the moment is around its carbon footprint. We all know that data centres use a lot of energy and emit a lot of heat. And one of the biggest challenges for the industry is how it reduces its carbon footprint and how it can help reduce the cost of energy and reuse the heat it uses into cooling its data centres in the future. So this is one of the issues that the group and the paper will look at.
Well, I'm on record as saying that when Microsoft announced Azure, it's the most excited I've been since the announcement of .NET at PDC 2000.
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing with Azure is it's, at the moment, I think, quite a unique offering in its sort of proper virtualized software offering, which is very different to other cloud offerings. So I think it's, I like the fact that Microsoft have seen the competition and come up with a different proposition.
And so is there any downsides to all of this cloud stuff? Any challenges?
Yeah, challenges in terminology. We've been debating that today. Trying to get non-initiated people in to understand what a table is when it's not really a table. It's been quite an exciting one around the Azure platform. It's a list. Is it a list? Is it? You know, is it are blobs crates really or containers? I think we've had those sort of discussions. But and I think that some of the issues that were early on, particularly around sort of databases in the cloud and whatever, have now gone away with the announcements at Mix, and that was great. You know, the STS sort of stuff, the SQL in the cloud is great now.
I mean, I kind of see that the current challenge is a similar one to maybe the use of the SOA terminology, maybe sort of 4 or 5 years ago, where everyone wants a piece of that terminology, and the maturity is not quite there in everyone's understanding, so everyone's just kind of using terms, and it's all about trying to sort of separate the wheat from the chaff and actually get down to really what actually cloud computing is really about and what it's useful for, because it's not going to be useful for everything.
So who do you think will be the first people to take advantage of it?
I know who won't be. That's probably easier. We were talking about this earlier. There's a checkoff list of the people, unfortunately, who cloud are probably a non-starter.
At the moment,
until that's sorted out, and it's probably small government departments, councils, that sort of thing. It's a bit difficult. The people who will take it up, it's almost organic in a way that you could have solution driven. So premise on premise seems to be very important, and the ability to be able to host that scalable website or whatever it is will probably drive some of the early adoption, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly the tick boxes that you currently got are definitely hobbyists and obviously startup businesses.
Very much so. Yeah.
Brownfield sites, more interesting, I think, is currently quite a limited set. It will be based largely around migrating a set of technologies. Depends on what your technologies are as to whether or not they fit the Azure cloud, whether your code migration would fit the Azure cloud. And the other interesting point is currently the story around sort of enterprise scale teams and the fact that that story is not fully yet written, I think, in terms of actually how you have a large scale team, multiple environments, and how you deal with those sort of challenges. So I think at the minute it's going to be largely sort of greenfield startup type businesses. And probably some on-premise cloud mixture scenarios.
And I think some of that will be driven out of partners, like my company, who's a services company. But to actually be able to provide a scalable, web-orientated platform has always been a sort of aspiration, but it always requires a hosting partner and lots of hassle. And the thought we can do it all inside the same sort of Microsoft branding becomes really helpful.
Well, we were just trying to understand the current position. One of the things that we struggled with as a company recently was trying to get the message right about where does Azure fit? Is it exclusively in the cloud, or can it be on premise? And Darren was explaining to me the announcement this week that Microsoft had decided that it isn't going to be you won't be able to shrink wrap Azure, you won't be able to put it in a box, and so I can run it on premise. And we were just chatting that through, really, weren't we?
Yeah, so it was quite interesting that. What you guys have said is that actually it would be the innovative aspects of Azure that are taken on-premise, not the whole package. So what that's going to mean in terms of enhancements to System Center, enhancements to Windows 2008, and what they're going to benefit from. But what we were worried about is that means potentially that there isn't a smooth transition from the off-premise model to the on-premise model.
And we struggled with that when we were developing this RNLI application, because we wanted to understand, they wanted it to run on-premise and off-premise. Mm. So we had to write an awful lot more code so that the transition between what was on-premise and what was off-premise was much more clearly defined. So all our back-end data layer had to be rewritten for Azure. Mm. Had we started from scratch and had we had the ability to put an overgrown dev fabric inside the corporate firewall, then we'd only have one code set, not two code sets, not two solutions.
I think that's the key. I mean, that's the key, is that we don't want an additional cost of having to rewrite something that's for on-premise use for Azure or vice versa. You want to be able to take it from one model to the other without having the cost of doing a rewrite.
No, that's right. That's right. Although what did come out of that was that chat was certainly something that we've learned was the simple design patterns that you have to adopt when you're working in the Azure space actually transfer back to...
They're good discipline.
They are good discipline. Good discipline. Yeah. Don't make it unnecessarily complicated, because you've got to deploy it to something simple like Azure. No. It's got to be simple by definition. So, that was an interesting outcome, I think, really.
And I think if you've already done development with Microsoft frameworks like BizTalk, then you've already got a fair amount of that discipline, because you've got the stateless front end, you've got the app server, and you've got the separation of your persistence.
So I'm looking forward to the announcements on when and how much, really, I think, is the... that's what's holding us back from a commercial perspective. It's great. It's great fun from a technical perspective to do it now.
Well, but, it is. It's great fun for techies, but it's not such great fun for the business at the moment, because it's all very much up in the air. But service level agreements are really, really key.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, customers want to know how much.
Yeah, and they want to know that whatever they do in their data centre, in terms of what they expect, in terms of reliability, resilience, the costing model, it's got to be exactly the same in the cloud.
Yeah.
Why should
they
expect anything different?
Yeah. And I think the other thing we touched on was key dates for the announcements of data centres, particularly in the EU. It was interesting to hear some of that information today.
Public sector, very important for public sector people. We need a UK data centre soon.
Yeah.
Dragged you out of the bar, so perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what you were doing.
You have. Well, funnily enough, David, we were talking about Azure, as you'd expect us to be talking about. What was really interesting was we were talking about scenarios that EasyJet might apply for Azure.
Yeah, I mean, some of our more remote locations, some we have airports all over Europe, and some of them don't justify infrastructure of their own, so we'd look to maybe deliver some services over the internet, which is something we've talked about for a long time. And previously it was maybe just ideas, and I think Azure has brought some real substance to some of our thoughts about that, and some solutions we want to do on that. But certainly, within an airport, it's a really tricky environment, and anything you can do to maybe do things yourself and do things in a different way to the way everyone else is doing things would give you an advantage on that. So that's an area we're going to look at quite seriously this year.
And I mean, the other thing we talked about really, really briefly was around any marketing campaigns, marketing activities that you do, and how maybe Azure could offer you, benefits in that space.
Mm, I think, I look at Azure and anything to do with the cloud as being areas where maybe you've got peaky traffic and you're looking at things that today you might want a certain amount of resource or capacity, and tomorrow you might need twice as much, three times as much, and it's just very like that. We're very peaky in terms of from a business point of view, and then how we interact with our customers. So we might want a whole bunch of resources next month and then turn them off the month after. So from that point of view, Azure would be perfect for that sort of thing.
And a conversation I have with quite a few people, a few customers, is really around how do you think that you'd go about identifying which services, which capabilities that you might take to the cloud. Have you given any consideration to that?
We've done a lot of work around that because we started outsourcing or using managed services about 3 years ago, and that change, we'll talk about that tomorrow in fact, that change in mindset leads you down that path. Once you start not worrying about owning it and running it yourself, once you start thinking about how you can expand your services by using third parties and other services, I think you go down that path. And if you like, we've been waiting for this sort of thing. You know, we've been actually sort of pushing for these sort of services to be available to us and been frustrated in the past they haven't. So I think you know, it's a natural extension for us because we operate so leanly. You know, he's just tiny in comparison to some of the organisations here, but we have to look for extended services and outsourcing partners and the rest of it. And cloud services really helps with that.
So, and in that thinking, has there been a differentiation between, you know, core value services that EasyJet have as opposed to services that are there to support the business as opposed to being a core differentiator for you?
Well, for the sake of giving away everything I'm going to say tomorrow, but essentially we look at three, we divide everything into three services. So we've got kind of commodity stuff, we've got airline stuff and EasyJet stuff. And at the commodity, at the moment, we drive out commodities. So we try and use partners and services and infrastructure service and platforms as a service to deliver commodity. In the airline, applications that anyone would have if you were an airline, those are probably harder, but that's where we're looking today. And then the real differentiators, which are, you know, what makes EasyJet is what it is today, some of the things that differentiate us from other airlines, they're probably a bit harder, but we are thinking about how we're going to do those in the future. So we've already got the thoughts about the commodity things. We've pushed them out the door as fast as we can because they don't help us. And running a Microsoft Exchange platform is running a Microsoft Exchange platform, no matter who it is. So why not give that to somebody else?
Yeah.
How you do complicated crew rostering over a busy summer period has been very unique to EasyJet. So that needs more thought about how we do it. But I still think in 5 years' time that we'll be doing that in some sort of manner.
Okay. So on that note, I heard the bell for dinner.
Back to the bar.
I think we're off for soup.
Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers.